Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
All righty. We are back. Major, everything is breaking today. Everything is breaking today, literally and figuratively. What's going on, everybody? Good morning. Happy Thursday. Excited to be with y'all this morning on another episode of Unicorn Finders. We've been pretty consistent at this. Again, probably when I was like, Taylor, where's the crew? Dan has a work thing he can't get to here. Also, Jake. Jake and Dan are part of this podcast. Neil, just to let you know. We used to work together at Vaco. They don't do this as a full-time job like I do, so they actually have work they have to do. But I fortunately just get to run my mouth on the internet full-time, so that's great. So excited for this episode of Unicorn Finders. If you are tuning in for the first time, say hey, we'd love to hear from you. What Unicorn Finders is an event, is an adventure, same thing, that was created during COVID by me, Jake, and Dan. Like I said, me, Jake, and Dan are friends outside of work. And Neil, I don't know about you, but as a guy, we kind of needed an excuse to hang out with other guys, right? That's just kind of like, that's just how guys are, right?
So podcasting or sports, like,
yeah, exactly. So because these dudes are obviously in different cities as me, we decided to start this podcast 3.5 years later. We've been going, and really what we've kind of zoned in on is really early stage startups. Kind of the unofficial slogan is, we bring on companies doing really cool shit that you probably haven't heard of yet. So that's kind of our unofficial slogan. Kelly, it's good to see you again. Thanks for connecting us. Appreciate it. So Neil, really excited to have you on, man. Obviously, a lot of changes in your neck of the woods, right? Yeah. We're going to dive into that today, which I'm super excited about. It's going to be a little different episode. A lot of it's like, what's your product? Are you fundraising? What does it look like? How do you make money? Buy. Today, I think we're probably going to talk a little high level, a little bit more entrepreneurial than Neil's going through. But I like that you're kind of going through this transition real time. Because it just shows authenticity. Like, it's not always easy being a founder. You're going to have to pivot a ton. So we're going to talk about that today. So Neil, if you want to give yourself a quick intro just about yourself, fellow SEC grad like myself, just talk high level about Venturis, and then we can kind of dive in.
Yeah, double SEC grad over here.
I know. Just love the SEC so much. You had to come back.
Auburn undergrad. And then I spent a lot of time in auto. I was an engineer at Toyota for a long time, building manufacturing lines, building internal combustion engines, and just kind of got the feeling that maybe my career might not be a 40-year career in internal combustion. And maybe I needed to make a change. Sure. And I wanted to scratch that entrepreneurial itch. I really was thinking about buying a business. Moved up to Nashville to go to Vandy for the MBA program. Bought a little business at the same time, which was Nashville Bubble Ball, which is like a party rental business. We were just helping kids, you know, run into each other at full speed safely. So it was a lot of fun. It was like not in my like wheelhouse at all. So I learned a ton, and that kind of set me on this path and helped me figure out really what I wanted to do.
Yep. Love that. So, well, man, so Venturis, let's talk about that for a second, right? I mean, again, I know you're pivoting, but what was it? What was your goal? And then obviously we can kind of talk about the pivot.
Yeah. To take it back to like the inception was, I was at Vandy. I was the president of the entrepreneurship club. Nice. I saw that there was all these people who wanted to be involved and do stuff, but they also like had other job opportunities that were like going to be a little safer. People take on debt. People have other stuff going on in their lives. You can't always launch a business any time of your life. And but people wanted to get a little taste of it. And so we were just thinking, how can we help people do that? And like in a non-scalable club way was like how I started thinking about this. Yeah. So it really just started of like, okay, I can spin up a little business of me reaching out to a bunch of founders that I had met, because I was a founder one time before this. And me reaching out to some VCs that I had met and just be like, hey, I've got a bunch of really smart people who want to do work. Like, can you pay them to do some of these things that I've lined out? And like, the answer was yes. I mean, we did like 10K just running it through my email.
For real?
Yeah. And like, I was like, okay, well, like, there's something there, right? And you go back and like, right when I graduated in May, and just like, okay, well, 10K is like, in the grand scheme of it, it's nothing, right? Like, you got to be way bigger than that. And I kind of expended my network to get there. So we make it 1,000 times bigger than that. So we're really thinking like, what does that go to market look like?
And
really, we were like, I don't know. And so we just started customer discovery again. And we were like, go into the VCs in, particular and saying like, what would you buy from me like every day or every week instead of like this like quarterly, you know, analyst report sort of work.
Sure. And is that primarily because again, so you essentially create a talent marketplace. I mean, yeah, essentially like it was a marketplace. It's basically NIO. It's just, we have talent. What do you need? And so primarily those type of roles that you were placing or finding, connecting were what exactly?
The things that really worked: market sizing, TAM analysis, competitive analysis, brand analysis. Very
so a lot of like heads down, like
very MBA desk work, right? Yes, like it's internet research, it's lots of looking stuff up, compiling a bunch of information together. Yeah. Like it's very in the MBA wheelhouse, and like it was something that people could do without a lot of guidance, and that's what we found. And it was also a little bit objective, whereas like we did a little bit of like, hey, we're gonna do a pitch deck for somebody, not objective. Like when you're done with a pitch deck is like never. So like, when do you close that deal and like they pay you? Like that can be a struggle. Sure. So we moved away from doing stuff like that.
I do love this thought because, you know, I think, you know, I'm really big from, you know, cause I'm pretty heads down in the software engineering space. Right. So like creating internships, apprenticeships, you know, my other podcast, we talked about shadowing on a job recently. Like I do think, college students are underutilized. I mean, they're really, really smart, especially if you're going to do a Vanderbilt or, you know, these higher level, you know, education institutions. Like, I feel like it's a great idea, but talk about kind of what you're running into and why you decided to pivot.
One thing you said there, I just like to highlight of like the shadowing thing. It's maybe good for the student, but it's not usually good for the employer.
So sure.
We need to solve that a little bit of like, hey, like at the end of this time, the student will have delivered something valuable to you. Like instead of you just have delivered something valuable to them, an experience. And then for the student side, they can actually say, hey, I made an impact, right? Like I actually did something that was valuable, is tangible. Like I can build a portfolio. Software engineers build a portfolio. Right. UX designers build a portfolio.
Correct.
Like everybody else, not really. Right. So like that was a little bit of what we were hitting at. But what we ended up asking about was, hey, what can I do for you all the time? And the answer was deal flow in like kind of a roundabout way. They were like, hey, I'm not sure you could do this, but like, you know, deal flow is the core thing to VC success.
Sure.
And I was like, well, I've got 50 Vandy MBAs. We all have the same deal flow effectively. So like that wasn't the answer.
And what is deal flow, just for people who watch this or list this now in the future?
Yeah, VC's job is to deploy money into great companies. To 100%. Do that, they have to see lots of great companies. So it's a funnel just like sales, right? And you have to put a bunch of stuff at the top of the funnel and start moving that down.
Right.
They're doing the whittling down, but we can help them put great stuff at the top of the funnel. That's what we were working on. So instead of having this 50 Vandy MBAs all focused on Nashville, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to put one person in Nashville. I'm going to go get somebody in Carnegie Mellon and in Pittsburgh, right? I'm going to go get somebody at WashU St. Louis. I'm going to go get somebody at Northwestern. I'm going to go get somebody at MIT. I'm going to go get somebody U Miami. Like I'm going to go get people all over the country who are in places where startups are, that are not necessarily New York and San Francisco, where there's lots of VCs and lots of startups already interacting. And I'm going to help people discover each other. And that was the idea. And the reason that was the idea was like, okay, well, if I have that, what do I also have? I also have a distributed sales force, right? I have students who can then go out and say, hey, we do these projects.
Yeah.
Hey, we do this other work. Like, can we help you with stuff? And like they're building relationships, which is like, to me, that was like the number one thing that the students are getting out of it. Instead of like where before I was thinking about it being a portfolio, well, now you have a network of founders that you've discovered. If you're interested in startups, like go work for one of them. If you're interested in being a VC, you're proving that you can have your own deal flow. Like all of that just really aligned like for why we went after that.
I love that. And so then what happened?
We built it. We really did build it, right? Like we had a team. We saw a team. And we built 20 students, 20 universities, 20 cities.
Wow.
And over the past 16 weeks, four months, I guess, they've gone out and found over 3,000 startups. They've met hundreds of those founders like in person or on Zoom. And we've onboarded them into our platform, and we've had 5 or 6 VC design partners who were working with us to build something that matched their needs. But when we launched that and went live, it was just not the right thing, right? Like the usage was lower than I expected it to be. Like people's, how often they logged in and actually wanted new deal flow, like less often than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And like people, the willingness to pay was just not there the way that we needed it to be for the model that we had built. Cause it wasn't a free way of doing this, right? Like I was paying these students to go out and really hustle. True. So like, you know, you got to be able to underwrite that somehow and say, hey, we're going to make money from this. But I don't think it was the right thing. And the reason, the biggest reason to me, the VC like perception is you want to see really good deal flow. You don't want just more things to look at, right? So you want what you see to be selected in some way. Yeah. And like the trust for students doesn't exist from the get-go. So like if they think of it a little bit of adverse selection. So like that's what we're trying to solve with this next product that I can't fully announce.
But yeah, like, I can't. We'll have to bring Neil back on. Neil's like, you know, I want to come on, but
I want to keep it on the DL like just a little until we're out there and like on our way. That way we make sure we have a good head start.
Well, and again, I mean, I appreciate you still wanting to come on. I think there's a lot of founders who may be like, you know, I don't really want to talk about, you know, my failures are not necessarily failures, just a pivot, right? But I applaud you for coming on the show and talking about this. Let me ask you this, like what would be your biggest advice to founders, right? Who may be starting and who may be worried about failing?
I mean, I'm not afraid to call it a failure. I mean, in some ways we missed some things, right? Like in some ways, like we made some assumptions and like your job as a founder is to make assumptions,
right?
Or hypotheses, and then you disprove or prove them. Right. Like that is the job until you figure it out. And like, even like everything kind of distills back to that, even when you're like niche focused in like marketing or ad spend or whatever, like all of it is like, hey, we think that this is going to be the way it is. The reason that you're valuable as a founder is like, you have some gut instinct about what those things are. So you're going to be better than just some random person, you know, because you know your market and you're attached to it and you've done all this research and met all these people. So, but like, you still are making some assumption.
Sure.
But then you got to go out and put it out in the world and see if it works. So that's what we were working on. I mean, to me, I think you're just trying to optimize how quickly you can do that, right? Sure. It's like the speed of learning is like the thing that you're chasing.
Yeah.
And that's like the advice of like, if how quickly can you prove or disprove the things that you think are true?
I love that. What do you think you missed, man? I mean, like if we put Neil back into a time machine and go back, and maybe this answer may be what you're about to do. So if it's too close, let me know. But what would you go back and do, like, and tell younger Neil about this venturous startup?
I'm not sure that I would have done it differently. I think I think we had to learn this in a way. I think we did have to learn it. The thing that I think I would have hinted at to myself about being open-minded is about being open-minded and like that your values and your like view of the world and how things should be. Cause a lot of founders, we are trying to change something in the world that we think is broken.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually a lot of the reason that somebody gets into this.
Yeah. But, that's a problem.
But if you can't, if the thing that you think is broken, isn't something that the people that you're trying to serve think is broken. You can't change their mind. Like that's not necessary, or maybe you can, but I couldn't figure it out. Right.
Like, Neil's like, let me know if you figure it out. Yeah. I would love to.
But like, that was like part of it is like, you have to be so connected to your customers and how they view the world.
Mm.
And like, I wasn't a VC going into this. And sure. So like, I'm absorbing it all the time by talking to people. But you know, I think there's some amount of, I was a founder. And the founder VC dynamic, you butt heads already, right? There's already a little bit of conflict like built into the process.
Unpack that a little bit. Why do you think?
I mean, there's just a bit of like, you view your special thing as your special baby, and a VC might have seen 10 of your special baby.
The guy, like basically calling your baby ugly.
There's some of that. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics, I think, to the conflict because, right, like you're selling pieces of your company to them.
Yeah.
In exchange for the ability to build what you think you need to build. So there's also that dynamic of like, you're chasing different valuations to reduce dilution. And there's a lot of dynamic there. I don't think we'll be able to like really get into it, but
I get it.
I think that you have to really empathize with the way they view the world, and you have to you have to be on the same page with them and not trying to adjust that.
What do you think, or what advice would you tell people, right, to who may be looking to start something? Because I've talked to a lot of people, right? I mean, well, my whole entire job is talking to people. That's, you know, obviously, but I've talked to a lot of people, and everyone has an idea. Everybody, you know, maybe wants to start something. And what would be your advice to those folks who like want to dive in to something?
Yeah. It's hard to say because, you know, like now
there's no wrong answers, no wrong answers.
You know, I realize how biased I am about it now because I started that small business or bought that small business. So I have that experience. I built another startup last year that didn't work out, but I have that experience. Sure. And now I've been doing this for like almost a year. Right. So there's a lot of experience baked in where I'm like, oh yeah, you don't need to worry about doing that, or you don't need to worry about doing that. But like, I also learned a lot doing those things. So sure. Like, you know, going through the processes of maybe like working through like some systems or business planning and financial modeling and these things that take up a lot of time, like at the end of the day, I throw a lot of them away. So I'm like, oh, that wasn't valuable, but I probably still learned a lot. So, but the big piece of advice I would get is for you to be a product person. If you're going to build product, like you don't necessarily have to be a software engineer. But like, if you aren't very attached to the product and the process and the ability, if you don't have the ability to prototype something in no code or Figma or Canva or PowerPoint or something to
you need to be able to, prototype something.
Got to be able to get it out of your head. You got to be able to get it out of your head and get it in front of people so that you can explain like, not just like a vision and like a company ideal, but like physically, like how are you going to make this thing happen?
Yeah.
Like somehow you got to be able to do that. You got to develop those skills and get good at it, because when you start to pivot, you got to do that again, right? Yeah. Like, so your ability, like back to like the speed of learning, a lot of the learning comes in by putting a prototype in front of somebody. Hmm. So like, if you can prototype it yourself way faster, right? If you're able to change things on the fly, if you have the ability to just adjust and understand like the feedback they just gave you and show them something different next week, like you're going to go faster. And that's like part of it.
So do you think that's like the core skill? Like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of skills to be successful, but like it's that kind of sounds like you got to be able to do this. Like if you want to dive in, like.
I think if you're non-technical, you got to get technical in this way.
Yeah.
Where like, you got to be able to get the ideas out of your head and onto something that looks like a product, so that you can show your customers. I'm working on it, right? Like I was mechanical engineering and I did a little bit of, you know, coding, but like not really.
Sure.
And so like, I can't put together a whole thing, but I can build a website. I can build stuff in Figma. I can use the no code tools and automate stuff. But so it lets me go a long way before I have to pull a developer in or have a, you know, conversation with another person, because you know, adding more people just takes more time, and the more you can do by yourself, the better you can get, and more money. Right. So like, it's important to be able to hack things together. And I would call it hacking more than anything.
Yeah. 100%. Cool. Anything else, man? Anything else you want to tease as we wrap up here, just for like the next thing or anything you can say? If not, no worries. We'll bring you back on the pod once it's fleshed out.
And I know like we were chatting like a little bit about network.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Let's talk
about that. I think that's a cool topic because I didn't value it when I was younger. I undergrad, whatever, like my network was.
I didn't network at all.
And it's all your friends. Like, you know, there was a hundred, I felt like I knew hundreds and hundreds of people. So like, I was like, I got a great network. Right. But so did everybody else. And then I went into auto and I'm like, I'm in a manufacturing facility. Like you can't like jump out for coffee. Like that doesn't exist. so like you're in the facility, you're kind of out in the sticks usually. And like, so I just didn't for like 5 years. Like I didn't really meet anybody outside of the plant.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I really like can't think of very many instances that I did. Even like when we traveled, like, yeah, we'd meet people, got to go to Japan a lot. That was awesome. But that was cool. There's not a ton of networking that goes on. And, you know, as soon as you get into the MBA program, like that's just such a highlight of like, yeah, just ask people to coffee. And like, you've got that .edu after your name, like people say yes to that. And so that was a huge
thing. Okay.
Hundreds I feel like, of coffee chats. I met with all sorts of people, and like some of that stuff starts to come back around when we shut down Cottage, my last startup, and we shut that down in November this time last year. And I was like, hey, we had made some money, we had launched a product, we had done some great stuff. It didn't work out, but I told a couple people who had helped me along the way, hey, like, thanks, but like, this didn't quite work out. Within like a week, I'm working on something else with one of them. Right. And that turned into this.
That's awesome.
Okay. Right? That's cool. So like, that is like just sometimes building it up piece by piece. And now it's also like those networks are our first customers. Yeah. We really like focus on like communicating with them. I send out like a monthly investor supporter email update. And so it's just like communicating with them and directly saying like, this is what's going on. And like, I sent out that essay about us pivoting last week, you know, and that was my November update. My December update, that'll be about what comes next, right? About all the changes that are going on. And like in each of those things, I get to ask them for help. And there's 150 people in it now, like that I'm sending that to. So like, those are people
I would love to sign up.
If you're in. I scrape my email. Everybody.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah. I love it. And Valerie comes in here. She goes, I'm learning a lot about networking, how to build something that's actually valuable for me and my network, as opposed to just collecting connections. So thank you for talking about this. Yeah, absolutely, Valerie. So you're saying like the power of just asking people to coffee is huge.
Yeah. And the thing that makes people want to say yes is if you've done something interesting.
Sure.
Like you just need something, right? Like some little like wedge. And like for me, mine was Bubble Ball, which is like a silly like business, but like, it was like a way to be like, hey, I'm running this business, like come, you know, chat with me about this. And then it was Cottage, which was more software development heavy. And I was chatting with people who were software developers and getting an understanding of that. And now it's VCs. And now I'm getting an understanding of what that looks like. And like, it's just each step of the way, like I have a little reason to reach out and you just meet people. And
I love that.
It's the business of making friends, you know?
So yeah, 100%. So let me ask you this. So, when you were at Auburn, if you were to do it over, would you do the, hey, coffee, can we do like, would you try to do a coffee chat a day? If you were to go back to Auburn, is that something that you probably put in place?
I don't know if I was like socially skilled enough
to pull off those meetings.
I mean, it is like, there's some amount of like talking with adults I don't know if I had it.
The mess of a coffee. Is important.
Honestly, I think what I would have done is I probably would have told myself to try to start something.
Really?
Okay. Because I didn't try to start something until I was 27, 28. Yeah. I just turned 30.
True. So,
like, I always did want to, but I think my mentality at the time, which was a little warped, was that there were only a couple ways to succeed in the world. And one is to go work for big companies or to go build a big company. I didn't really understand that there was like a ground, like small businesses and medium businesses and agencies and stuff.
Our parents too, and like how we were raised. Cause like, I didn't know what a fucking entrepreneur was when I was in college. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my dad worked in the restaurant industry. I knew about the restaurant industry, but I didn't really know how to network. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think because of social media, I think there's so many, I think you can network with people. I mean, can you imagine trying to network with people without the internet at this point?
No, I mean, no, not at all.
Bro. Exhausting. Like, forget that.
What would you do? I mean, it's like dating. Like, I don't even.
Well, know. So I talk. I know. So I talk because I met my wife on Tinder.
I met my wife on Bumble.
Are you serious? Look at us. That's awesome. That's awesome. I've really thought about this. I was going to tweet about this today, and then my daughter dropped a snow globe right before we started. But, if you're not on social, I can't network with you. Like, I don't know how to keep up with you because like, I think we all live on our phones, and if you're not out there, then, and I get it. Some people listen, my brother hates social media, doesn't use it, and he's done really well in his career. But like, I also don't probably talk to him as much as I could have if he was on social. That's important. But yeah, I don't know how you do this stuff without the internet.
I probably didn't.
Can you imagine fundraising without the internet? Can you imagine like doing any of that stuff without the internet? Like, wait, what?
No. To pick up a phone call. It knocks down a lot of doors. Like, right? Like, before fundraising, like 100% who you know, right?
There you go.
And who you grew up with and who your parents know and all of that. And like, is that still a little biased? Probably. But like, can you fix some of that by knocking down some doors on social media? Absolutely.
100%. Well, and Kelly, I'm going to get to your comment here in a second. There's a podcast I listen to. It's called Group Chat. I shout them out a ton. I love what they do. Three founders out in LA. And one of the guys did a special episode. His son has some sort of like child epilepsy, like has seizures, and like they of course have like the best doctor care with UCLA. And they brought the doctor on, and they were literally just trying to raise awareness for his son and other people who have it, which then it gives me goosebumps because I know podcasting and content works. These guys are obviously well connected. This guy got a call from a big VC. He said, like, he goes, I'm not even going to say the name of it because all y'all know it. He was a big VC who wants to throw money at this problem to try to solve it. And it's all because of this podcast.
That's cool. I mean,
isn't that awesome? I mean, it's like
just crazy. Serendipity, or someone called it, it's like the surface area of luck. Right.
Ooh, I like that.
It's the more that you're out there in the world, the more people you talk to, the more things you do, the more visible, like, and the more, and same with like giving back and helping people. And like, it just creates this like wider net.
Yeah.
And like stuff starts to happen.
Yep. Exactly. Kelly comes in here. Kelly, I'll see you tonight. Neil, are you going to that meetup tonight at Reunion Bar?
I'm trying to. Yeah.
Me too.
I usually go to the gym at that time. So I just rescheduled it to noon and
comfort. Yeah. Yeah. Hang out with me. I'll see you tonight for a few minutes because then I'm going to NTC holiday party too. So I'm double socializing tonight. I'm regretting my decision. Kelly, I think there are some opportunities to change consumers' minds in early come in certain situations, but most of the time it's just not worth it or a good pursuit in the early stage. Why go after changing minds when you could go after the people who know they need your thing? I've experienced one or two times in marketing where we change customers' way of thinking about something, but I think that's a bit later and different than what you're referring to. Prototyping is so important.
Yes. Kelly's a better marketer than me, so she's certainly aware of this, but there's like problem aware and then solution aware.
Yeah.
Coming, and that's like this a different funnel, right? It's all funnels. But there's, if they're not even problem aware, it's like pretty tough to get a wedge in there. So like a lot of that is like several years ago, think about like green energy, you know, doing stuff for the environment. And it's like a lot of people just weren't really convinced of the problem.
Yep.
So like they're not going to try your thing that solves that problem. And things are changing over time. So there is like that ability to change. But it takes, I mean, think about how much effort it has taken.
A ton of effort.
To start to like adjust public perception. And it takes time and years and millions of dollars. And so like that's not pre-seed startup sort of activity.
Yeah. Exactly. Also, low key, Kelly and I are starting a new endeavor together next year. So another podcast. So
exciting.
Around startups. Yeah, startups and marketing. So cool. Well, Neil, I just realized I have an all hands meeting now, so I need to run. So y'all, thank you again for hanging out with us, Unicorn Finders, this morning. A lot of great comments, a lot of great interaction. We appreciate you all. Neil, best of luck to you, man. We'll definitely get you on the pod in January after the dust settles on your new endeavor. But I appreciate you. Y'all, thank you again. Neil, stay on real quick. Say goodbye to you backstage. But y'all have a good one. We'll see y'all next week, next Thursday for Unicorn Finders. Peace.
Thanks, Taylor.